What's up? This is Movies On Up. God damn it, hold on.
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
Why the fuck do you talk every time I start this fucking podcast? At no point do I say Alexa. Not talking to you. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Evolution becomes revolution. I am Dave, joined by my fully evolved co-host, Mike Mann.
I'm sort of evolved, but that's me.
Our tagline for this week is Evolution becomes revolution. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. We're here. It's our news episode. It's third week of our news episode. We're still working out some sound issues. Still working out my Amazon Echo deciding to say something every time we start and making us start over. So, this week we got some box office. More news this week, less trailers. But some pretty cool trailers that I'm excited about. But starting with the box office, I am glad. Rarely will I even admit being wrong. It's rare, it's even more rare that I'm happy I was wrong. I thought Pixels would do okay. I thought Pixels would bring in at least like 40, 45 million. It did not. Not only did it not even make 40 million, it didn't even take number one at the box office. It was close. Number one went to Ant-Man at 24.9 million, which is 56% drop off from its first one, which is pretty much exactly what I expected. But Pixels opened at 24 million. We took 40. We set the over under at 40 million. I think we both took under.
I took super under.
I know you took under. I don't remember what I did, but it's very happy, and it didn't just open poorly like it got. And I mean, his movies generally get reviewed pretty poorly, but this got just torn apart,
trashed,
and basically people were using it as like a culmination of his career. And it's hard to think that Netflix doesn't regret jumping into bed with him for, what, 6 pictures that he has coming out with them. Because I think people are finally starting to realize, like, oh, this was funny when you were 20-some and, like, he's making...
I was, like, 7 years old. It was way cooler then.
Yeah, he's like that pop-punk band that puts out a really great pop-punk record, and when you're, like, 19, you fall in love with it because it just speaks to you. Then you become a 40-year-old man, and now these guys are 50-year-old men, and they're making the same record, singing about the lost girl and stuff like that, and they just don't... His stuff hasn't grown at all.
Yeah.
And it's he's starting to finally get called out for his misogyny, like his masochism, like just everything. It's just mean, and I do like that it failed.
And listen, we love Adam Sandler as a guy, but I think the movies are
I don't like Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, like the movies are going
I
downhill.
Like when he goes serious. I like stuff like Rain Over Me, Punch Drunk Love, even Men, Women, Children last year. Yep. Like, he wasn't terrible in, but I'm tired of that same joke over and over, and I think everybody else is, too. Minions came in number 3 with 22.9 million.
Which, to me, was surprising, because for how much of an under I took Pixels at, I'm shocked that Minions didn't beat out Pixels. That was really what amazed me this week.
Well, it's just weird, the entire overall drop, because the week before that, you had Ant-Man at over 50 million, you had Minions right there, right behind it,
yeah,
and then you had Trainwreck at over it right around 30 million. This year, you don't have a single movie over, this week, you don't have a single movie over 30 million. Trainwreck is in number 4th with 17.2 million. That held pretty strong. That was only a 42% drop. And then in 5 and 6 were the next two... wide releases this week. You had Southpaw at 16.7 million and Paper Towns at 12.6 million. Both quite about, right about where I thought they'd be. I set the over under 30 for both of them. You took the over.
Yeah, because I thought Southpaw would do that itself. So
I don't remember.
That was my bold pick of the week.
I don't remember what I picked. But 30 was pretty damn accurate, because they were, what, combined 29.3 million together. So, I do want to see Southpaw. Paper Towns, I like John Green as an author. You know, The Fault in Our Stars was good, but this one just doesn't seem to do much for me.
I agree with that.
This week's a interesting week. Opening this week, you have Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I'm really excited to see what this does.
As am I.
Because Ghost Protocol did very well, overperformed, but it was a December release.
Yeah.
And if you put out a competent like action movie in December, it's going to do well, and it was a really good action movie. But, I mean, Tom Cruise now isn't what he... Like, Tom Cruise hasn't had summer success in a while.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. So, I went and saw Ant-Man, and they show this little, like, sneak peek, you know, in Mission Impossible. And they show, like, Tom Cruise live filming
the plane,
hanging from a plane. And I was like, oh, sign me up.
I mean, I think it'll do well, but it's at the point, like, I don't even know where to guess on this. Like, I'd like to say, hey, maybe this is a $40 or $50 million opening. So what? I mean, let's just split them difference 45 over under.
Oh man, that's tough. I'm gonna say over because I think all the people that didn't go see something last week, such as like Southpaw or Pixels, this would be a movie that would kind of like draw you in if you haven't been to a movie in 2 weeks.
I'm so torn on this. I'd like to see it do. I think I'll take the over just because I'd like to see it. That's more my heart speaking.
Yeah.
The other wide release, Vacation, starring Ed Helms. This Vacation will stand on its own. You know what? I think I don't know that the marketing has been as heavy as it needs to be, but those Vacation movies hold a giant spot in a lot of people's hearts still, and you just have an updated version of it. I don't know how well that Vacation name does on its own, though. Like, does it open in train wreck territory? Do you think it gets $30 million?
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, I don't really have a sweet spot in my heart for these, but I guess I'm a little young, too. But, yeah, this is the movie that I think will make Mission Impossible do a lot less at the box office. If this came out on a... Because you got to think, most of, like, let's say middle-aged dudes are either going to have a super soft spot for this kind of movie or be like, you know what, let's just go see Mission Impossible.
Yeah, see, this is a weird... Because there's no... neither of these are, like, niche releases. Like, they're not the same movie. You have your action movie and you have your comedy, but they're both very broad in that sense. Like, they're not really... They're both of these movies are for people that are just like, hey, let's go see a movie. All right, do you want action or comedy? That's it. That's what these are. It's do you want Tom Cruise or a comedy? Like, I can't see Mission Impossible doing 45 plus and Vacation doing 30.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's where I'm split. Like, that's where I'm... I think one of them is over and one is under.
I hope Vacation is under because maybe it's just me, but I am sick of Ed Helms movies.
Oh, see, I like Ed Helms. Ugh. I really like Jeff Who Lives at Home. Fantastic, phenomenal movie. Cedar Rapids, really, really good, way underrated. And like even him in, he had a bit part in We're the Millers. Like his scenes were the best in that movie.
Yeah, so. I thought he was good in that. His stuff ever since that's kind of been what's kind of tapered off for me. Like, I don't know. I felt like that after, like, The Hangover and Jeff Who Lives at Home and We're the Millers, I'm kind of like, all right. I've had my...
See, I don't remember much from him since Cedar Rapids, We're the Millers.
I guess
Jeff
you're
Who
right.
Lives at Home, I don't remember. He was in a bunch right there in a chunk, but then it feels like they kind of tapered off. But I like Ed Helms. I think he's a competent movie star. So I'll go over for Mission Impossible, and I'll go under for Vacation. So that's box office for this week. As far as news, Gambit is possibly being dealt a bad hand. Rumor has it Channing Tatum is set to leave the project, with shooting set to begin in October. Supposed to start filming in October for an October next year release. Rupert Wyatt's still on as director at the moment, but things aren't looking good with Channing's negotiations, even though he was at Comic-Con promoting the movie. Does a Gambit movie even happen without Channing Tatum?
You would almost kind of hope not, because if you do, it's going to be kind of overshadowed that he left. You're like, oh, well, you know, this movie might have been better if you had Channing Tatum. But I don't know how... I'm not super interested in Gambit in general, but I don't know that you draw me in with anybody else, really.
See, I liked Gambit. I liked Gambit more than I probably should have, because Gambit's... To be honest, he's a throwaway character. Like, a throwaway comic character. I do like Gambit. Did I want Gambit more in the X-Men movies? Absolutely. Do I need a Gambit standalone movie? No. No, I don't. Would I see a Gambit standalone movie starring Channing Tatum? Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Because I'll see pretty much anything with Channing Tatum. So that'll be interesting without him. And, I mean, they could still work a deal. It's just that was the talk this week, is that he's on the verge of dropping out, which... I'm fine with, because he's lining up some cool stuff. I still want that Chris Pratt, Channing Tatum Ghostbusters movie to happen.
So, oh, you're telling me. I agree.
Hopefully that comes back to life. Chloe Moretz moves in next door, joins Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. I'm kind of on board. Like, I love the first Neighbors.
Yeah,
I thought the first Neighbors was... I like Seth Rogen. I like Zac Efron. I love Rose Byrne. I thought it was funny. It wasn't what I expected going in.
Yeah, maybe I would like that movie more if I wasn't in college and so, like, tainted from those, like, stereotypes and sorts of comedy. I'll probably like that movie a ton more in, like, 5 years.
See, we're watching it from completely different... You're watching it from the I'm a college kid thing. Yeah. I'm watching it from, hey, I'm a family dude. I have kids. Yeah. So, like, to watch it from those different perspectives is kind of funny. But, not only Chloe Moretz joined the cast, but that also they named it Sorority Rising. So, I pretty much seems the plot is going to be the same, only with a sorority joining in or moving in next door, with Zac Efron joining Seth Rogen to kind of start it. But I'm excited for that. I think it'll be funny. I like Chloe Moretz and think she has this like subtle humor to her that I think will be. She doesn't get to play the mean girl a bunch. She's usually the girl that's anti-mean girl.
Yeah, and she has, like, a nice girl face, so if you give her kind of, like, a, you know, a feisty part, it'd be interesting.
Well, and that's what they did with Efron, because at no point in Neighbors was it good guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
They were all being completely irrational.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you saw where Zac Efron was coming from. Even Dave Franco's character, like, he wasn't just this asshole college kid that was the villain of the movie. And I like that. I like the team behind it. No Green Lantern for Chris Pine. He instead signs on to play Steve Trevor in Wonder Woman. It's been talked about for a while. There was talk of him for a while joining Wonder Woman as Steve Trevor, but of course the internet jumped to like, oh, that's code. Like, they're really negotiating him for Green Lantern. Because, not going to lie, I think on paper, Chris Pine is a really good Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
And the first time around, when Ryan Reynolds got the part, I kind of wanted Chris Pine to be Hal Jordan. But that was just all I had to go off of was the Star Trek movie, the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay without Chris Pine being Green Lantern, because outside of, you know, Star Trek 1 and 2... I haven't been impressed with this dude at all.
No, I agree with that.
Like, I watched This Means War, which I regret, but you put Tom Hardy in anything, I'll watch, even if it's a Brett Ratner romantic comedy. But not good in that. That stupid train movie.
I was just going to say, Unstoppable, my least favorite movie probably in the last, like, 7 years.
That, Jack Ryan, like, you flubbed a Jack Ryan. I mean, there was a lot wrong with that movie. That's not entirely on Chris Pine, but he didn't help.
He didn't help a bad movie.
No, so he'll be Steve Trevor in Wonder Woman, which maybe him as second fiddle is maybe more accurate for him. Gil Keenan to spend 5 nights with Freddy. Poltergeist director is on board to direct the adaptation of the mobile game and will write the script with Tyler Burton Smith. I kind of dig this fit. I liked Monster House. Until the end, it kind of fell apart. Like, I haven't seen the Poltergeist remake just because I'm not really interested in the Poltergeist remake. But
me either.
The head's in the right spot for Five Nights with Freddy. Have you played Five Nights with Freddy at all?
Yeah, you know, like at 2 in the morning when I was half asleep and thought I would, you know, download something on my iPad real quick. Yeah, yeah, it's all right.
Like, it's, I mean, it's not from a, like, I'm not a gamer. I like just silly games. I don't get it. I don't take the time to, like, learn how to play it, but I like just, like, oh, I'm going to do enough, and then I'm going to have a jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
The setup of it, I love. You're an overnight security guard in a Chuck E. Cheese-type place where the beasts come alive at night. That's a great setup for a horror movie.
Yeah.
So,
although it's sort of, you get the kiddish feel because it's kind of like Night at the Museum gone wrong. So
exactly, yeah. And because, I mean, those animatronic things are creepy anyway.
Yeah.
But the jump scares of the game are great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, I mean, it's going to be hard to make a movie without relying on jump scares, but I think that one will be fun. That'll be a little fun one to give a try. Comedic Shaft, coming from Blackish and Goldberg's writers. Blackish creator Kenya Barris and Goldberg's executive producer Alex Barno have been hired to write the action comedy take on Shaft. What are your thoughts? I don't think now is the time.
No.
Like, and not to get overly political, but to take this like culture, this icon, this iconic
mm-hmm.
black character, which the Richard Roundtree movies, they were silly. Like Shaft Goes to Africa, they were silly, but there was something in them. Like, they were culturally relevant. Like, yeah. they addressed something. And I mean, maybe they still can, but especially with how things are now. Like, I mean, I would like to see a dramatic Shaft take on a corrupt police force. Like, something like that, I think, would be awesome. I think you would put, you know, get me Idris Elba or somebody badass, Chiwetel Ejiofor as Shaft. Like,
yeah.
Somebody like that in this iconic role that's just a straight badass. Because, honestly, when I think Shaft action comedy, we just had Black Dynamite a few years ago
mm-hmm.
that was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was great. I don't want that from Shaft. Like, I don't want Shaft to become a spoof of Shaft.
I mean, I'd be way more excited if it was a serious Shaft than an action comedy Shaft. I guess my thing is, how much comedy is there going to be?
And that's where I worry, because if you're action comedy, like, reboot of an old property, I think 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, which...
Which could, is great. I love it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the right thing for this.
No, I don't want that. I don't want Shaft in 21 Jump Street world. And I just feel like, especially now, because you have an opportunity to say something in a time when there's so much to be said. Because you know what? The Sammy Jackson Shaft, not a bad movie.
Oh, no.
It super was, good. It was... wasn't Bale the bad guy in that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that movie was pretty good. Plus, I'm kind of upset because I've been working on an Action Jackson 2 spec script, and it's taken the action comedy approach. So I feel like this will kind of... an action comedy Shaft will make it harder for me to sell my Action Jackson Reborn or Generations. I don't know. It's Action Jackson and his nephew. Space Jam 2. Question mark. Warner Brothers signed a development deal with LeBron James this week. LeBron, he has a show he executive produces on Stars, that Survivor's Remorse, that gets pretty well reviewed. He kind of got rave reviews out of Trainwreck. So it's not official, but a lot of people jumped to the conclusion that him signing that deal with Warner Brothers means that the long-rumored Space Jam 2... would happen. Mike Mann and myself are both not only giant LeBron James fans, also big basketball fans.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get a Space Jam 2, it's not just bringing LeBron James to the big screen. You're going to get your Melo, your Wade, you're going to get Anthony...
Bill Murray.
The unibrow. Like, you're going to get these guys on the big screen. As a giant LeBron and basketball fan, thoughts on a Space Jam 2.
I wish everybody could just see my face because I don't know that I could describe how torn I would be, like how torn I am initially at the idea of this, because I have three VHS tapes of Space Jam recorded from television in my room because the first two wore out and the third one barely works. And I also have Space Jam on Blu-ray twice accidentally and three DVDs. So, I mean, this was my favorite movie as a child, but here's my thing with this. Do you overshadow some of the glory of the original Space Jam at all? Or my biggest thing is, I wish this was coming out when I was 10 years older and had kids, personally.
Well, here's the thing. Space Jam's a tricky one, because the people that beloved Space Jam, when was the last time you watched Space Jam all the way through?
3 weeks ago.
I'm 21 years old. For the average person, it does not hold up well. Michael Jordan is terrible in it. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you watch it from, like, he is so stiff and a terrible actor. And I realize he's against cartoons and stuff, but he's not charismatic on screen. He's great to watch because he's Michael Jordan.
And that reason really only.
That's it.
I'll tell you what, though. Have you ever played that Space Jam basketball game for PlayStation 1?
Not lately.
If you want to play the game that rejuvenated my childhood the other, you know, a couple weeks ago, why don't you revisit that classic?
But what made Space Jam so cool were the cameos, and I mean, it was just, it's a dumb movie. But I did love it growing up. The soundtrack was great. This, I had a great conversation with my buddy Tony, because I sent him a text to ask him to reach out to Evan of the 90s pop group Evan and Jaren, to reach out to the directors of Wedding Crashers, to reach out to Kevin Hart to see if we could pitch our script idea for Space Jam 2. And we got to talking that if this movie even happens, should it happen? Because do kids even care about Looney Tunes right now?
Because
he straight up asked me, do my kids care about Looney Tunes? I recorded Space Jam off the DVR to have my kids watch it. They were bored. They didn't care about it. Like, it feels early 90s. It's not a timeless classic.
Yeah.
It hit the right time, and it was fine. But here's my thing, and we got to talking, and it said, well, what if it's not made for kids? What if it's made for the people who grew up loving that movie?
Oh, sign me up.
And if you take the tone of the Jason Segel Muppets movie, Muppets were kind of irrelevant for a long time.
Yeah.
And Jason Segel came, and he's like, okay, I'm a dude that grew up with these. We're going to disguise this as a kid's movie, but it's really for the adults. So that Muppets movie was great. So you give me a Space Jam 2 with that kind of approach, to where, hey, here's an opportunity for the kids to fall in love with these Looney Tune characters all over again, but there's a lot there for daddy. Like, I would be for that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because I think you'd have a much, much better movie, because I feel like LeBron is way more talented.
Yeah, I would definitely say so.
And a better actor.
That was my next part. So how many who's the better actor poster you're gonna see online for the next, you know, 15 years about, you know, Space Jam and all that?
So I mean, there's no news on Space Jam 2. It's all speculation. But as two dudes that love LeBron, we could not talk about Space Jam 2. As for trailers this week, we kind of kept it limited on trailers. One that I'm excited for. That I had to talk about. The Night Before, starring Seth Rogen, Joey Gordon-Levitt, Anthony Mackie, directed by Jonathan Levine. I'm excited for this movie. I think it looks fantastic. It's got great Jillian Bell's in there as Seth Rogen's wife. It's just three lifelong friends who have had this tradition of every Christmas Eve, the three of them get together and just go nuts and have just a fun time. And they're now getting older, and this is the last year they're going to do it. So it's one last hurrah, really. It's I think the trailer had a lot of good laughs in it.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen trying to cover up his sweater in a church, in a Catholic mass. That was great. I'm excited to see it, because Jonathan Levine is such a good director. And the trailer focuses on comedy, because you know it's going to be funny. But you'll look at, oh, this is the guy that did 50-50. And, you know, Seth Rogen, when he writes stuff, there's a lot of heart to it that I don't think he gets enough credit for. And here you're dealing with Joey Gordon-Levitt, who lost his parents 10 years ago or whatever, and Anthony Mackie's getting famous, Seth Rogen's having a baby, and then Joey Gordon-Levitt's just kind of there. So I think it'll be a very cool, like, especially for dudes my age. Like, that's why I like Seth Rogen, because me and Seth Rogen are, like, the same age.
Yeah.
That, like, watching his career grow up has kind of been me growing up, which is, that's why I'm drawn to Seth Rogen so much. I'm really excited for it. I think it'll be, I don't like Christmas-themed Christmas movies, but I think this one will be great.
I agree. I mean, I like Seth Rogen a lot. I'm not a big Joseph Gordon-Levitt fan, though, and that was, as soon as I turned the trailer on, I was like, ugh. I guess I could put up with another, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie if it's got Seth Rogen in it. So that kind of counteracts that for me. But I can't name a Seth Rogen movie that ever since I've been old enough to go see in theaters, I haven't. So
here's my thing with Joey Gordon-Levitt. I can see kind of getting turned off. He's very artsy. Like, he's very, but he goes all in for everything he's in.
That's true.
Like, he commits to whatever he's in. Like, he was even on the Comedy Bang Bang TV show, which seems like something that I don't think of him as the type of actor that would do Comedy Bang Bang, but he was great on it because he commits to it. Mm-hmm. He was really good in 50-50. I like him. Like, even Don John, he directed that, but he went all in for that.
See, I hated that.
I didn't like it, yeah. But he committed to it. Like, he was into it. So
absolutely.
I like that, you know, with material presented by Rogan and Levine, and Levine directing and bouncing off of Rogan, I really think he's a chameleon to me. Like, if he's around people that I love Joey Gordon-Levitt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Joey Gordon-Levitt shill. Like, I don't love him unconditionally, but, you know, like, I love some, like, Looper, I think, is a fantastic movie.
500 Days of Summer? I mean...
Yeah, see, I hate that. That's one of my least favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Oh, I hate that movie more than almost anything in the world. Like, yeah, I hate... There are a few things in existence of history that I hate more than that movie.
All right, Inception?
Yeah, I'll watch that a dozen times over 500. I don't think there's a movie... I don't think you could name a movie that I would rather not watch over 500 Days.
I was saying, like, do you like that Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie? Because I liked Inception. I thought that was good. I was just kind of segueing off of 500 Days of Summer.
I'm indifferent to Christopher Nolan movies. Like, it was okay. It's an okay Christopher Nolan movie. Another trailer, pretty interesting to me. Spotlight. You got Michael Keaton, fresh off an Oscar. Mark Ruffalo. A few Oscar nominations, Rachel McAdams, as a few reporters trying to take down the Catholic Church and expose their kiddie diddling ways. This movie looks intense.
Yeah, and it looks like the perfect sort of movie for Mark Ruffalo and Michael Keaton. But I'll say this, I think I'm really glad that Birdman kind of reincarnated Michael Keaton, because, maybe people your age are probably going to think, you know, Michael Keaton was Batman.
And, oh, I love Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Him in the 80s, I loved, like, almost his whole stretch in the 80s, I love.
Yeah, but he's sort of kind of, you know, coming about for another generation. Like,
oh, yeah.
Birdman was really, you know, what I'm going to remember him for personally. And I think this movie is a phenomenal follow-up for that.
Yeah, and this is one of those movies that's sneaky. Because it's not from a big-time writer-director. Mm-mm. It's written and directed by the same dude, but it's a less... I can't even remember his name at the time. But you have such a hard-hitting cast. You have Keaton, you know, fresh off an Oscar win. Ruffalo, fresh off a nomination. Rachel McAdams, she's been nominated, I don't think, for Oscars before, but she's gotten acclaim before. And you're tackling this big subject. This feels like the kind of movie that is going to be sneaky at Oscar time.
Yeah, like I would say so.
It feels like the kind I get, like a Dallas Buyers Club type feel from it, to where, oh, this is some great, you know, this is a great cast with a hard-hitting subject. You know, maybe the director doesn't have the acclaim yet, but I feel like it could sneak in there, and I feel like I get that kind of feel. Not that's not the same movie as Dallas Buyers Club any means, but it has that same kind of feel, to where Dallas Buyers Club kind of came out of nowhere and was nominated for a ton of Oscars. I feel like this will kind of do the same. It's based on a true story about all those diddling priests. So it'll be interesting to see how it's accepted in that kind of category. But I wouldn't be surprised if this shows up. To a less award-worthy director, last trailer we'll talk about this week, 13 Hours. There's an extra title. I think the full title is 13 Hours, The Secret
Soldiers of Benghazi.
It's a Michael Bay movie starring John Krasinski, which right there
is an interesting combination.
It's an interesting combo. Michael Bay gets a lot of snuff, and I'm not going to defend Michael Bay.
Oh, no. Please don't.
I'll defend him where I feel it's due. I feel Bad Boys was great.
Transformers 1.
Like Transformers 1 was okay. I feel for what he does it amazingly. I liked that he branched out and tried to do Pain and Gain a couple years ago. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But this 13 Hours to me feels like the kind of movie that he thought he was making when he made Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, that's
like
probably true.
Pearl Harbor was supposed to be his, like, oh, he does more than action. Like, he can make this, like, gut-wrenching war drama with characters. But those characters were Josh Hartnett and Ben Affleck. This is, like, pre-career resurrection Ben Affleck. So, yeah. This is, you know, Daredevil era Ben Affleck. And it was just a dumb action movie that had longer breaks between dumb action.
I mean, I liked the movie Pearl Harbor, but I'm not going to say it was good.
This, I kind of want to see this.
Yeah, here's my thing on this. I'm really glad that this looks like it's taking the Zero Dark Thirty approach of movies.
I was just going to compare it to, like, it's like they took Michael Bay and they sat him in a room and they said, watch Zero Dark Thirty and Black Hawk Down.
And make a different movie.
And yes, based on these two movies, make something. Because this is another true story. And it looks pretty solid. I mean, it's... I don't know a ton about the case. And I don't want to because I feel like that...
That's going to ruin the movie for you.
Yeah, like Lone Survivor, I was taken a lot out of because I knew a lot that was going to happen. Even though that movie was very, very well done. But I'm interested to see this Michael Bay.
Yeah. So am I.
Because, you know what, Michael Bay visually is very, very, does some very cool stuff visually. Mm-hmm. And you get that from big action movies. Like, you have to do the scale that he does, you have to have some sort of visual style. And Pain and Gain didn't really give him a chance to do much with what he's good at.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a nice middle ground. Like, if you have Pain and Gain in one room, you know, and his typical movie down the hall, this is the room right in the middle. And, you know, it does have, like, a Zero Dark Thirty feel, a Hurt Locker feel. Like,
mm-hmm.
And to see that come from Michael Bay, I'm on board for. Like, I'm not going to say I've never been excited for a Michael Bay movie because, you know, I was excited. I was interested to see Pain and Gain. And I want to see this. It looks well acted. Like, the cast looks good.
I mean, I love John Krasinski, so...
I think he's great. I think he's incredibly underrated. Like, he's more than Jim. He just hasn't had a giant chance to...
Be more than Jim
yet. To prove it, yeah. Like, the stuff he's done, he's been great in. But yeah, that's our trailers for this week. There were a couple others. There was a Hunger Games, Mockingjay second trailer. There were some other smaller ones that we just... I didn't want to go too long on news. And because there's even a lot of news we cut out. But yeah, that's it for this week. Did you watch anything the past week that you feel like passing on?
I did go see Ant-Man.
Thoughts?
Really good.
I liked it a lot.
Way too. Better than I expected, even though it was hyped up a lot. Paul Rudd, it's still ever made a bad movie? I don't think so, but, you know, who am I?
Well, that one with Eva Longoria and Lake Bell.
Yeah, all right.
Over
okay.
Her dead body.
All right, maybe he made
I mean, when he movie. Went through his romantic comedy phase, some of that stuff was pretty bad.
Yeah, but I feel like this itself redeeds everything that he could have made bad. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't really think of bad Paul Rudd movies other than that one off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think the villain was fleshed out very well, but I didn't really think it needed to be either, I guess.
That was my problem, and I mean, that's common with a lot of Marvel movies, is I thought Corey Stoll did a really, really good job with what he had, but I kind of wanted more. I wanted more of that history between Pym and Cross, because it just seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, you saw where he was coming from, but he just seemed ridiculously evil, and you didn't really see how he got to that point.
Yeah.
It was alluded to how he got to that point, but I'd have liked to see more of that history between Pym. But you had so much other stuff going. You had the history of Scott Lang, you had the history of Pym and Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a lot of good stuff there. I love the yellow. I thought Yellow Jacket, once he put the suit on, he looked awesome.
Yeah, like, super good, you know, suit and all that.
I caught on Netflix this week some random Irish vampire movie that I stumbled across, from the Dark. Actually, fantastic. It was one of those that, like, I have very low expectations, but I want to just put something on and not really think. Fantastically done. Shot very, very cool. One of my favorite female leads in a long time in a horror movie. Like, this was a very cool survivor girl, and it was a very, very cool movie. It's a small scale vampire movie. I mean, it takes place over the course of a night on a farm, but it's very, very cool. It's very slow moving at first. I was very close to just moving on and trying something else. So stick with it. If you stick with it till it kicks in, it's worth it, because it's very, very cool. It's done very well. She's fantastic in it. The direction is awesome. There's some really cool visual stuff with the vampires that's awesome. And it doesn't rely on jump scares, but it relies on, like, subtle, hey, was there just something in the background of that last shot? So, From the Dark is the name of it. It's a pretty cool movie. That's the only one sticking out, because I've been hate-watching Under the Dome from the beginning for some reason. Wow. So I haven't been watching as many movies. I put off Under the Dome for a long time because I heard most people say it was really, really bad.
Yeah.
They were wrong. It's much worse.
Oh, yeah. So, it's terrible.
But I started it, and so now we're only about 9 episodes into the first season, and it's like, I gotta see where they're at now, because it's almost like they're hitting a dead end 9 episodes into season 1. So I got to see how they...
Like, how bad does it get?
Because they're already reaching for, like, storylines. And it's like, what are they reaching for, like, 20 episodes from now? So, but that was a little off topic. But you can find more of me at Dave Bacella on the Twitter, DaveBacella.com. I need to start blogging a little bit more. I have it. Check out our regular episode each week. This week, I think, was our episode 4. Our New Hope episode, although I don't think we talked about New Hope hardly at all. It was more just a Star Wars in general discussion. But what can we say about A New Hope that hasn't been said? So
yeah. That
was kind of where we came from. Next week we have an episode, and I think in two weeks is our favorite rappers episode, favorite movie starring rappers, which I'm excited for that episode to air, because that one was a lot of fun. So yeah, you can find this show, moviesonup.com. Our tagline for this week, Evolution Brings Revolution, or something like that. Hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. Facebook.com/moviesonup or Twitter @moviesonup. I'm really trying to get back to doing both of those. I haven't touched either one in a long time. I'm trying to make an effort. You can find Mike Mann @yourmanmike on the Twitter. And check out podcast.com for all my other shows. Dave and Mike Have Daddy Issues. Should have a new episode in the next few weeks. We just released a viral hit song parody last week. It's available at daddyissues.net. It's probably the stupidest thing you'll ever hear in your life. But we will be back next week with more news, probably, and some trailers. Until then,
keep it up.
So close to not having to edit at all.